Morning, folks. This is Scott, your host at Sharing the Burden. We're live at 102.9 FM, whistlefm.com, formerly Whistle Radio. Sharing the Burden believes in life recovery. We are a life recovery group, and we follow the 12 steps of sharing the burden to support the hurting. All are welcome at our meetings. We hold weekly meetings in several locations. Check out sharingtheburden.ca to find the meeting closest to you, or start your own. And we need one in Stouffville soon. Barbara Ann Scott, Sharing the Burden. Do you remember Barbara Ann Scott? The skater?
I know the name. Yes, she was a skater.
I don't remember her. It was far before my time. My grandparents taught me about her.
Me too.
Anyway, Barb, good to have you back on the show.
Good to be here.
We've got lots of things we can talk about. Lots of things we can't talk about. And one of the things that's really hit me in the last couple of days is our friend Peter. Peter's been in the hospital, had a serious back operation a few days ago, last Thursday actually, and miraculous recovery was coming on big time, and then he was struck with the flu, and we don't know what else at this point, but he went from, you know, a day later standing and, you know, being in the hallway and eating sitting up. And he had a back fusion that involved a whole bunch of, you know, taking pieces out and putting pieces back in and nuts and bolts and long nuts and bolts too. Things that, you know, and I watched the operation purposefully, not live, but live on YouTube to see what he was going through, and I had hoped after I saw it that Peter would never look at it before he went in, but he did.
Oh, really?
And he was kind of thrilled with it, the same way I was, from a look for what might come of it and all that stuff. And honest to goodness, when I saw him standing in a picture Pauline, his wife, had taken, he looked 3 or 4 inches taller. Because he's a little taller than me when he can straighten out.
Right.
But I could see that, by the way, you know, and we know how Peter's been walking lately. He's really bent over.
Yes.
And he was straight. But anyway, and then, you know, a day later, the poor guy's blood pressure is down. His kidneys aren't working. He's, you know, they suspect that he had blood clots in the lungs and so on. And anyway, as a result of that, another friend, Raj, which I was able to send a photo around this morning, Raz sitting beside Peter, you know, as the epitome of what we hope Sharing the Burden represents to the public out there. It's a friend supporting a friend and sharing their burden. And in Raz's case, where he's been on the show several times, people know of his ups and downs and ins and outs and how serious and loving a guy he is. And but just the way he saw Peter, he saw a picture of Peter, and next thing I know, I see this picture of him and Peter, and he's reading the Bible, and he's got a mask on, and Peter's out cold beside him with tubes coming out of his ears, sort of things. And I thought, wow, man, does that ever represent what I believe Sharing the Burden should be? You know, just a brother or a sister helping a brother or a sister, and just being there to share and to truly support. You know, and we say that, you know, in our mission statement today, that we vulnerably support others. So in other words, we come with a transparency that I think only grows on us over time. We're not born with it. I certainly wasn't anyway. You know, I was born the antithesis of what I might appear to be today, and you know, there's the odd person that would say I'm still that, but
well, I think we all still embody that to some degree or another. I don't know if it ever all goes away.
But Barbara, you know these people, you know these guys, and you know what we try to do with Sharing the Burden. You know what we do in the jails, and we do really well in the jails, and you know, and we've kind of, Sharing the Burden seems to have come alive in the jails, and I'm not sure exactly what that's all about, but I know it's the place where the greatest amount of evidence is seen in what can transpire and what can happen to someone locked up who's even not getting out, maybe for a long, long time, maybe never in some cases, the odd case. Yeah. And yet everyone in the room can go away smiling, looking forward to another meeting. So, you know.
Yes, but is that not what it's all about? It's about hope, and I mm-hmm. think that that's really what, you know, sharing the burden brings to the table. Mm-hmm. It's about hope, because again, and I've said this many times, you know, in the jails or talking to other people who are in that dark place, and if you're in the dark place, and you can prove it to yourself, if you're locked in a room and there's no windows and it's black, you are depressed, you're afraid, it's just not a manageable situation. And somebody just gives you just that speck of light mm-hmm. that you can look at, and that's your hope. And that's really what we all need in order to carry on with our mm-hmm. lives, because you can't walk in darkness and keep going forward. You either stand still, or you do something drastic, or you become self-destructive mm-hmm. because you can't deal with it. And again, and I don't know how far I can go here, but you know, if you believe in God, yep. God is that light, right? Yep. In the darkness. Yep. And you know, so for those who have not found God, that's what they need. They need to find mm-hmm. God, so that they have that light that they carry with them all the time, yep. no matter what's going on around them.
Perfect description. You can have the show now. But it's so interesting that Peter and Raj came to light this morning, and I'll tell you why. And this sort of thing happens to me quite often, and this is how I know there's something far greater than Scott out there and up above and wherever, everywhere, I think. But, you know, I always open my life recovery devotional, you mm-hmm. know, day by day, on by number, you know, yes. and I teach it, you know, first step, January, you know, day 14th, day 15th, so mm-hmm. 15th. So, and I'm working for half an hour looking at this, and day 15, and I'm not paying attention to the step that's written right up above, you know, and lo and behold, after a half hour into that, it's step 3. You know, not, you know, my brain's not working, obviously. I mean, you're yes. this far into the book versus this far into the book. And the only thing that's playing in my mind is, you know, number 1 is about powerlessness. Number 3 is about turning things over to that power.
Absolutely.
You know, or getting into that mode. And how did I work for half an hour in this? And it was all to do with Peter. You know,
right.
Peter's in the picture that I shared when I got up. Peter is the guy I've been thinking about day and night since he went into the hospital. Peter is the guy that all the women in the jail wrote this special card about having. They wrote the card as though he had gone into surgery and they were hoping for a fast recovery. Somehow they were under the impression that he went in about 2 months ago, sort of thing. Mm-hmm. And so time is all out of whack, you know, and I'm always talking about, no, well, godliness is all outside of time, you know, and I don't want to play God in a strange fashion, but I was far outside of time, because here I am in the third month and working on this thing and looking up a story, and it's, you know, a healing in the name of Jesus, of course, and it's Peter and John, you know, going before the man who sat at the gate and begged all the time and needed to be able to walk. And Peter, with John, Peter says, well, you know, look at me and look at us. And then he says, you know, in the name of Jesus, get up and walk and so on. But it's always Peter. And this is weighing heavy on me. And I'm into this Peter thing. And I'm half hour into a step that has nothing to do with powerlessness, really, you know. And I'm getting all these notes and feeling good about it, not even realizing I have a guest this morning, Barbara. There's how great an impression you've left with me.
Some things never change.
folks, that's another, I'll use that word again, the antithesis of the truth. But anyway. But it's all for a reason, and that's what I find in life. Like these mistakes, I pay attention to them now because I make a lot of them. I pay, you know, like more attention to the mistakes than I do to the smooth run and stuff, because they either teach me, they either set up an obstacle, or they're there so that I will do something
They are there. You know? They are there for you to pay attention.
Yeah,
is what they are there for. Yeah. And the problem is, too often we just let them slide and we don't give them the attention.
Yeah.
They require.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Anyway, that's enough on that. Jay, I want to bring Jay into the conversation today too. And in all of my misery and mistakes this morning, I thought, you know, Jay. You know, because you know the way I do things. We're sitting outside. We're both getting out the door. And I said, oh, Jay, I just like, I think, you know, can we talk a little bit about you, you know, this morning and, you know, what life's been like and so on. And, of course, Jay's always, you know, there and ready to, you know, to stand in. And, you know, lo and behold, and then Barbara shows up and Jay's going to do this. And Scott's 2 months down the road and, you know.
We're a very happy family.
We sure are, definitely. But you know what? If you keep a level head, this stuff all works out for the perfect purpose. You
absolutely
know,
it and, sure does. Yeah, definitely.
You know, and Jay, in your willingness, I was going to say, well, at some point you can take us out for an ad, but we got a few minutes on that. Why don't you give us a bit of an update where you are at with your kidney situation? Because we talked briefly, and you know, we wanted out there that you know, you may need one down the road. Hope and prayer is that you don't, but you know, it's a very good possibility, and we want people to be ready. We want everybody to kind of share in this, just the way Peter and Pauline and Raj and Barb and I and our friend. Our friend here, what's your name?
I think my name's Jay.
Yeah, it is. Our friend Jay, you know, adds to the whole equation. And so, Jay, tell us a little bit about where you're at, what's involved, and you know, what it was like, and what it could be like with or without a kidney. So,
yeah. Well, coming up this Friday will be 19 years ago that my sister donated a kidney to me. And within the last year, my kidney hasn't been working as well as it has been in the past. Blood tests have shown that the kidney is starting to fail, and been going to the St. Mike's Hospital for you know, checkups there, and then they referred me to a kidney specialist in Richmond Hill, so a little bit closer to home. And this kidney specialist is one that's actually saw me when I was on dialysis the first time around. I you know, before my sister decided to give me a kidney, I was referred to this clinic. So it's great to be back at that same clinic, to be with the same doctor that knew me from years ago, and same nurse that I had. So so what they're doing now is they're keeping a closer eye on the numbers. You know, at times, you know, the kidney seems to be doing better, and I just had some blood tests done last week, and things are down again. So it's kind of the levels go up and down. And I might have a possible donor. I'm not too sure about that. A friend of mine, I was telling her that I'm going to be needing a kidney, and so she's said, sure, you know, why not? And but you know, I spoke to my sister about this to share the news with her, and you know, for somebody that's actually gone through it, you know, they have quite the story to tell. So my sister wants to talk to my friend to you know, make sure that she understands what the, you know, going through a kidney transplant is like, especially for the donor. The donor, they say, goes through a rougher time than the recipient, so it's important for the donor to understand, you know, the pros and cons about going through this. You know, it's a very you know, major surgery that you're going through, so it does help to, you know, to speak to somebody that's you know, been through that before. So you know, so that's where I'm at right now, and just to, you know, watch my diet, you know, keep a closer eye on my you know, blood test, blood pressure, you know, things like that. And you know, but I just want to, you know, continue. You know, I feel pretty good for the most part. I can, you know, continue to do these radio shows and things like that, and so it's just a matter of keeping an eye on things. And if I do get a kidney, there's a chance that I could avoid the whole dialysis process altogether if this works out with my friend that she's a match, and we can go ahead and do the surgery that when it's time for me to have a kidney. Like right now, I don't need a kidney today, but it may be a year down the road, 2 years. It's hard to say. So that's where they're gonna. That's the good news, that I don't have to go through kidney dialysis if I can get a suitable donor. So, that's good news there.
Excellent, and thank you very much for jumping in, taking up some time, and telling the folks.
Yeah,
beautiful stuff, and I want you to know, and I want people out there to know, that we will support you like we support whomever we support. So whatever we see and say and do on here, we would gladly do for you. And just the fact that we've had people praying for quite a while that mm-hmm. what's happening could happen, so I just think it's beautiful. It's an answer to prayer and so on, and it's great, and you're a good guy. And one of the things I always like about you, Jay, is your positivity. And and whenever I pick you up, every time I pretty much say the same thing. Well, how's it going, Jay? You winning the war and that kind of stuff. And and Jay will say, yeah, you just got to keep positive, and he does, and he smiles. And I mean, that little part of his story is just a scratch of the scratch. And we'll get little pieces of Jay's story from time to time, and we will take a show within the next while. Jay, willingness, of course, to tell his story.
That would be great.
Of recovery, yeah. And I look forward to that. And for one thing, I can be a little more lazy. It may be impossible, but I'm going to try.
Yeah, sit back and let me take over.
Well, Jay talks, and the only problem is when Jay says, Scott, can you take us out for an ad? No, I'll probably faint.
We got to switch the roles around.
but Jay, in light of that, would you pay some bills for this radio station?
Yeah, I think it's time to pay some bills, and we'll be back here on Sharing the Burden on Whistle FM.